Jordan, so near banks I stand, and cast a wishful eye.
Hi, this is Jay Webb of International Gospel Hour. Since 1934, Churches of Christ have proclaimed God's Word through International Gospel Hour. Please stay tuned for another lesson on this program by Jody Apple. Are you listening?
For the promised land.
Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5-year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 1 of week number 10, studying Matthew chapter 10. As we get started, these reminders. Our 6-day-per-week radio programs are just one of many ways to connect with International Gospel Hour. These broadcasts air thousands of times each month all around the country, but they do not air continuously everywhere. If you want that kind of full-time, unlimited access to our materials, we encourage you to go to our website, internationalgospelhour.com, and click the free link in our menu. You can listen to and freely download all of our IGH 260 programs by clicking any of the IGH 260 links that you will find at the main page of our site. You can also go directly to the IGH 260 index at internationalgospelhour.com/IGH260. For a free listing of all of our materials, send an email to free@ighradio.com. If you would like to receive our IGH 260 updates, you can text the word IGHFREE to 55222. That's IGHFREE, all one word. Simply text IGHFREE to 55222. Are you interested in learning more about God's Word? Here are two great ways to not only learn more about God's Word, but to learn to love God more as well. First, consider enrolling in our completely free, self-paced online Bible study program. To get started, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. Second, if you prefer to study by mail, call this toll-free number, 1-855-IGH-6988, to receive our free 30-lesson Bible study series. You can also request that series by using the contact form at our website, internationalgospelhour.com. And finally, you can always keep up with International Gospel Hour by frequenting our Facebook page at facebook.com/International Gospel Hour or by accessing our Twitter page at twitter.com/Jody Apple. We noted recently that nearly 5,000 people keep up with our work through social media, but that needs updating. It's actually more than 7,100 who follow and or like the updates that we provide through these media. Keep up with our work by checking those sites out today. Let's get into God's Word, a study of Matthew chapter 10. We begin, as we did at the start of Matthew chapter 9, with a bird's eye view of Matthew up to this point. Before we do, this thought. It's easy, as you read portions of Matthew or of any biblical text, to overlook or fail to fully consider how that part of the text fits into the narrative in which it appears. For example, you can read the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, chapter 5, 6, and 7, without seeing how those chapters contribute to the immediate context, that of Jesus' teaching, preaching, and healing ministry, as stated in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 and following. Doing so might prompt someone to understand them in an incomplete or an inaccurate way. Additionally, reading them as an isolated section of Matthew's Gospel can cause us to miss how those chapters fit into Matthew's overall purpose. So, in order to make sure that we see where the next chapter in Matthew fits into the immediately preceding context and into the context of Matthew's Gospel as a whole, we review where we have been. Doesn't that take time away from studying more about the chapter itself? Yes, it can. That's why we have been adding, or will add, additional bonus programs at the end of each broadcast week. But there's something else. A significant percentage of Scripture repeats principles and truths and events that appeared in earlier sections of the biblical record. Take, for example, the fifth book of Moses, Deuteronomy. Even its name, Deuteronomy, tells us that it's going to be repetitive in large degree. The title comes from Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 18, a verse that reads, "Also it shall be, when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book, from the one before the priests, the Levites." The "he" in this context is referring to any future king in the nation of Israel. The words that are translated as "a copy of this law in a book" establish the basis for the title. In place of the words "a copy of this law in a book," the Greek translation, the Septuagint, includes the word Deuteronomy. Moreover, the word itself means second law, referring to the book's repetition, hence second or restatement of the law that was first given at Mount Sinai and recorded in Exodus chapter 20. It was not a second law in the sense that it was a different law, but it was second in that it had already first been given in Exodus. As you start reading through that last book of Moses, the book of Deuteronomy, you will quickly see how much of it repeats and reminds Moses' audience of Israel's history. It rehearses the Exodus, the time that they spent at Mount Sinai, the original giving of the law of Moses, the events in the wilderness, and so forth. And it does so for several reasons. It's 40 years after the law was first given, and a new generation of the children of Israel are now living. And second, what was stated 40 years ago will take on even new, more emphatic significance as the nation of Israel was about to enter the land of Canaan. They needed to know how everything up to this point in time was going to impact what was about to happen. It's for that reason that we, as a standard practice in preaching and teaching and writing, often take the time to remind the audience of where we are and why we are there. That requires background. So, let me suggest this. Every time that you sit down to read and to study God's Word, take the extra time needed to read as much as you can before and after the passage that you are focusing on at that moment. Sometimes you might want to read the entire text, for example, of one of Paul's letters, in order to make sure that you see the overall context and the purpose for its writing. It will help you to understand the specific reading that you are focusing on. So, with that in mind, let's do some review to set the stage for the exciting developments to come in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 1 recorded the genealogy of Jesus, and it set the stage for Jesus' birth. Matthew chapter 2 chronicled the arrival of the Magi, their search for the born king of Israel's birthplace, the concern of Herod and the city of Jerusalem, the Magi's arrival in Bethlehem, and their worship of the child Jesus, their return home, and, finally, Herod's slaughter of the innocents. Emphasis on fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies appears throughout the first two chapters of the book of Matthew. The third chapter introduced us to the work of John the Immerser, or John the Baptizer, the one who prepared the way for Christ. Of particular interest, John's preaching. John preached baptism, baptism preceded by repentance, and baptism followed by the forgiveness of sins and a life that bore the fruits of repentance. And then, at the end of Matthew 3, John baptized Jesus. In Matthew 4, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After resisting the devil's temptations three times, each time by saying, "It is written," and citing texts from Deuteronomy, Jesus began his public ministry. He began, as did John, by proclaiming this simple message: "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As the fourth chapter closed, we saw this broad outline of the first stage of Jesus' ministry. Jesus taught in the synagogues. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom. and Jesus healed people of their diseases. As news of his teaching and his miracles spread, multitudes began to follow Jesus. We will return to the key text of Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 and following, as it ties into the closing verses in Matthew chapter 9 later in our studies. In Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, commonly referred to as the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus continued to teach the multitudes. His teaching there focused on many subjects, but it was primarily designed to prepare disciples for the kingdom of heaven. In those three chapters, Matthew and/or Jesus addressed the mindset that Christ's kingdom disciples must have, encouraged open, public lives that displayed godlike character, provided multiple correctives to bad theology, usually misinterpretations and misunderstandings about the Mosaic Law, warned about ostentatious or pretentious service or worship offered to God, modeled how Christ's kingdom disciples should pray, directed Christ's disciples to glorify God first and in all things, cautioned disciples about usurping God's role as the final judge, and finally, those chapters reminded them that claims to follow Christ do not equal really following Christ. In the 8th and the 9th chapters, Jesus' ministry was more miracle-centered than teaching-centered. The two were not separate elements of Christ's work. In these two chapters, we observed at least 13 distinct miracle events involving an untold number of souls. We say at least because in some miracles, Jesus healed or cast out more than one person at a time. For example, in 8:16, he cast out many spirits, and in 8:28, he cast out two demons. He also healed all who were sick in 8:16. There's no way then to know the total number of souls impacted by these healings and these miracles in these two chapters, Matthew 8 and Matthew 9. Here are the 13 miracle events in those two chapters. Jesus healed the leper, chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. He healed the centurion's servant, verses 5 through 13. He healed Peter's mother-in-law, verses 14 and 15. Jesus healed many who were demon-possessed, in verse 16. He cast out spirits with a word, verse 16. He healed all who were sick, verse 16. He calmed the sea in the midst of a great storm, chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. He cast out the demons from two demon-possessed men in the country of the Gergesenes, chapter 8, verses 28 through 34. And then, as we get into chapter 9, Jesus healed a paralytic, the first 8 verses of that chapter. He healed a woman with a 12-year-long flow of blood, verses 20 through 22. He resurrected the ruler's daughter, verses 18 through 26. He healed two blind men, verses 27 through 31. And then finally, Jesus healed a mute and a demon-possessed man in chapter 9, verses 32 through 34. All of these miracles fulfilled another prophecy of Isaiah, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses," chapter 8, verse 17. But Jesus did not just heal and cast out demons. Through the many challenges and questions that he encountered, Jesus reflected his character. Jesus showed compassion to the multitudes. He went out of his way to demonstrate that compassion for outcasts of all kinds, both the physically and the spiritually disadvantaged. Jesus demonstrated concern for souls that were perceived as sinners and as enemies of the contemporary religious leaders. Jesus taught great lessons about faith and about mercy. Jesus taught what it meant to be his disciple. Discipleship demanded that we give up things in this life, things like home, possessions, and so forth. Jesus gave up all of those things to serve the Heavenly Father and to exemplify how we should do likewise. Jesus responded to every opportunity, to every challenge, to every individual, and to every group of individuals in a way that reflected God's redemptive will and God's redemptive work. Through it all, Jesus taught and Jesus consistently displayed ethical principles that not only depicted his character and his purpose for coming to this world, but through both the nature and love of God the Father. Jesus' concern for souls, both physically and spiritually, drove his ministry. Everything that we have witnessed in Matthew chapter 5 through Matthew chapter 9 amounts to an extended development of the outline that we first saw in Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 and following, one that we found repeated in Matthew chapter 9. We have noted this several times before, even noting its three significant element but a few moments ago, but because of its prominence at the start of Jesus' ministry, and because we witnessed it again at the close of Matthew chapter 9, it's worth repeating here. Listen to God's word from that first outline, Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 through 25. "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him, from Galilee, and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan." This passage defines and summarizes Jesus' work from this point, the closing verses of Matthew chapter 4, through the end of our most recent study, Matthew chapter 9. Everything that we have seen in Matthew chapters 5 through 9 set the stage for the expansion of Jesus' ministry that we are about to witness in Matthew chapter 10, something clearly anticipated in the closing verses of Matthew 9. At the very end of that chapter, Jesus spoke about a great harvest, but a not-so-great number of laborers. As Matthew 10 begins, Jesus began to send more laborers, the apostles, into the field. When we get to that part of Matthew chapter 9 and Matthew chapter 10, we will see that the harvest, the laborers, and the field were all spiritually relevant, more so than physically relevant. As noted, Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 restates the outline that we first saw in Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 and following. That passage says, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Matthew 9's outline mirrors the one in Matthew 4, 23 through 25 in many ways, but there's an addition in the latter setting that cannot be overlooked. In Matthew 4, after the teaching, preaching, and healing model was introduced, the text tells us that Jesus' fame grew and that multitudes followed him. In the most recent setting, Matthew 9, the teaching, preaching, and healing model was immediately followed by a reason, a purpose that lay behind Jesus' actions. Matthew 9:36 states it this way, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd." In Matthew 9, there's no doubt about what prompted Jesus' miracles and Jesus' teaching. It was Jesus' compassion that drove him. We will see that many more times as we study our way through the Gospels. Let's overview what we will encounter in our future broadcast about Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, Jesus called the 12 apostles to himself. Jesus gave them power, verse 1. He gave them power over unclean spirits in order to cast them out, verse 1. He gave them power to heal all kinds of sickness and disease, verse 1. Who were the apostles? They are listed by name as follows, starting in verse 2. Peter and Andrew his brother, verse 2. James and John his brother, also verse 2. Philip and Bartholomew, verse 3. Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, that is, the author of the Gospel of Matthew, verse 3. James, the son of Alphaeus, also verse 3, Lebbeus, surnamed, or who was also called Thaddeus, verse 3, Simon the Canaanite, verse 4, and finally, Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him, chapter 10, verse 4. Starting in chapter 10, verse 5 and following, Jesus sent the apostles out. Jesus sent them with these instructions, starting in verse 5. Jesus told them where to go. "Do not go to the Gentiles or to the cities of the Samaritans," verse 5, "but go to the house of Israel," verse 6. Jesus told them what to preach, verse 7. He told them to preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Also verse 7, Jesus told them what to do, starting in verse 8 and following. Jesus told them to heal the sick. He told them to cleanse the lepers. He told them to raise the dead. He told them to cast out demons. Jesus also told them how to go, verses 8 and following. Having received freely, give freely. Jesus told them what to take and what not to take, starting in verse 9. Do not take gold, silver, or copper, verse 9. Do not take a bag, verse 10. Do not take two tunics, sandals, or staffs, verse 10. Why? Because a worker is worthy of his food, verse 10. Jesus gave them specific protocols, specific rules of conduct when entering cities and houses, starting verse 11. Concerning cities, Jesus said, when you enter, ask who in it is worthy, then stay with them, verse 11. Concerning houses, when you enter a household, bring greetings, verse 12. If it's worthy, bring peace, verse 13. If it's not worthy, keep your peace, also verse 13. If you are not received, verses 14 and following, then leave that house or that city, verse 14. Shake off the dust from your feet, again verse 14, remembering that God will judge them, verse 15. Jesus sent the apostles out with these teaching reminders, starting in verse 16. You will be like sheep in the midst of wolves, therefore be wise, verse 16. Watch out for those who will persecute you, verse 17. You will be brought before rulers for my sake, verse 18. When you appear before them, do not worry about what to say. The Spirit of the Father will speak through you, chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. Jesus sent the apostles out warning them of these consequences, starting in chapter 10, verses 21 and following. Family members will oppose you, verse 21. You will be hated by all, verse 22. But endure to the end for your redemption, also verse 22. When you are persecuted in one place, go to another, verse 23. You will not finish going to all of Israel's cities before the Son of Man comes, verse 23. Jesus sent the apostles out with these master-student relationship reminders, starting in verse 24. A student or servant is not above his teacher or master, verse 24. Students and servants must be like their teachers and masters, verse 25. If the masters are accused wrongly, so will all in the house be so accused, verse 25. Do not be afraid. Everything will be revealed, verse 26. Jesus sent the apostles out with these teaching directives, starting in verse 27. Whatever I tell you to preach, you must preach, verse 27. Do not fear those who threaten you, verse 28. Fear God first, verse 28. If God takes care of sparrows, then God takes care of you, verse 29. God knows everything about you, therefore God knows what you need, verse 30. Do not be afraid, you are more valuable than sparrows, verse 31. Jesus sent the apostles out with these personal admonitions and warnings, starting in chapter 10, verse 32. I will confess before my Father in heaven those who confess me before men, chapter 10, verse 32. But I will deny before my Father in heaven those who deny me before men, chapter 10, verse 33. Jesus sent the apostles out with this reminder, your mission will bring division. Chapter 10, verses 34 and following. It will not bring peace but a sword, verse 34. Family members will be against you, verse 35. Your enemies will be from within your own house, verse 36. To be worthy of me, love me more than family, verse 37. To be worthy of me, take up your cross and follow me, verse 38. To find your life in me, lose your life. Lose your life for me in order to find it, verse 39. Jesus sent out the apostles with this reminder, I will bless those who bless you, starting in chapter 10, verse 40. Those who receive you receive me and him who sent me, verse 40. Those who receive prophets receive in the prophet's name a prophet's reward, verse 41. Whoever gives even a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple shall not lose his reward, chapter 10, verse 42. Again, that's but a brief summary, a brief overview of Matthew chapter 10. Of particular interest as we continue our study of that chapter, consider this. Jesus' three-part ministry of preaching, teaching, and healing, as outlined twice so far in Matthew, chapter 4, verse 23 and following, and chapter 9, verse 35, it appears a third time in Matthew 10. We will see it in more detail as we work through the chapter. But note what we read in the first verses of the commission that Jesus gave to the 12, noting only verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And verse 8, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." Jesus' work of teaching, preaching, and healing was mimicked, to a certain extent anyway, in the work of the apostles in this limited commission to the house of Israel. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Matthew chapter 10. This reminder as we close, let me encourage you to consider enrolling in our completely free, self-paced online Bible study. To get started, just go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.
God be with you till we meet again.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We hope first that it glorified God, but second, we hope that it edified you. Listen to it again if you need to, or to other lessons in this series by going to the Media tab at our site, internationalgospelhour.com.